We welcome you back to Ashford Common Baptist Church, where this week the sermon will be brought to us by Nigel Degenhart.
So Luke 18, we were looking at, and it's the widow, and she's crying out, and because she keeps crying out, the judge is fed up with her, and so he wants to grant her what she's requesting. And we look at the end part of that scripture. And we were looking at the persistent widow, and we want to particularly focus on the latter part of it. So I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that you will get just, they will get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now, I have to tell you that this last sentence is one of the most incredibly challenging sentences I find in the Bible. I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now, this is being talked about in line with persistent praying. And will he find faith on the earth is, will he find prayers? Will he find those that are loyal to him? I can't quite remember. I think it might have been Paul who said to us when on one of his visits that, you know, I know you're a great praying church. So let's have a look at how great we might be. And we're going to compare our great prayer life with Jesus, because he is the one to go to, isn't he? So we're going to step into Luke 5, verses 12 and 16. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing, as a testimony to them. Yet the news about him spread all the more, so the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Our Saviour was at the height of ministry. He was ministering to people. Someone comes up to him and says, heal me. If you're willing, it will be done. And he says, I am willing. That's a really good message for all of us that are praying and asking God to do things. Lord, if you are willing, and I believe the answer from the Lord, the majority of the time is, I am willing. So we can come in confidence as we pray, because we know that we're doing things within the will of God when we ask God to do things. What things do we? Well, you've already heard from me this morning. Getting our boiler going again so that we've got heat. It's pretty cold at the moment, and we've got heat and we've got hot water. Praise God, because we asked God to get the boiler going again. I shared earlier with thanks that God just spoke to Everall to show her where the keys that I'd managed to lose were. Praise God. You know, God is concerned about us. He loves us and he wants to bless us and encourage us. And he wants to do that by doing things in our life. I am willing, he says. I am willing, and God is willing. And what does it say towards the end again? It says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He did this often. It was a thing that he would do all the time. He must have been exhausted from the fact that people were always coming to him and saying, Lord, I need something from you. I need you to heal me. I need you to deliver me. And, you know, and he would deal with the crowds of people gathering around him. But he often withdrew to lonely places to pray. How important it is for us to pray quietly, away from other people, and to just sit with our Lord and talk to him and seek him. How do we take authority in situations, particularly spiritual situations? We need to pray. I don't know whether we can have a look at a chicken and egg situation. What came first, the chicken or the egg? What came first, the prayer or the word of God? Where do we go to find the wisdom that we need, the life to lead, the encouragement that we need? We look to the word of God. But then if we pray before we look to the word of God, the Holy Spirit shows us what the words are saying to us. Sometimes I pick my Bible up and God just speaks. Other times when I'm praying, God says, go there, look at that. While I'm reading it, I just ask God to show me. I ask the Holy Spirit to guide me and to lead me. It's absolutely natural to chat with God, to chat with the Holy Spirit, to chat and say, guide me, lead me, show me. So when we come and we have big decisions to make, we can look in the Word of God, and the Word of God is always going to give us some guidance. But I don't know about you. If somebody comes to you with a skin disease, are you going to take the layman approach and say, yeah, go around the river seven times, run around the Thames seven times and soak yourself and then come back to me and you'll be healed? You know, that's an example we could take out of the Bible. But does God want us to do that? But God wants us to lay hands on people and ask for people to be healed, and God heals. So you see, you know, the Bible gives us a great guidance and great leading, but we always need to combine that with praying. It always needs to be part and parcel of the same process, what we're using. So let's have a look at Mark 1 and see how many of us relate to this. Mark chapter 1, 35, Mark chapter 1, verses 35 to 39. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. So what do we see Jesus' first action is? Jesus' first action is he gets up very early in the morning while it's still dark. So when I've been taking Beth to work, some early shifts that she's been doing, been getting up very early and heading off out, and, you know, the moon is still up and it's dark and it's still essentially nighttime. And this is the time Jesus would get up. This is the time Jesus would spend time in prayer. And do we see what happens in this scripture? What happens here is they're looking for him. And they say, "Everyone's looking for you." And Jesus replies, "Let's go somewhere else, to the nearby villages." Why does he say that? Because he says, "So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons." Why? Because he says, "That is why I have come. I can preach and I can deliver and I can heal. And I'm going to preach and share the gospel." When does all this happen? After he has prayed. When does he come back and say, "Let's go somewhere else"? After he has prayed. I'm sure that he's getting the guidance from the Father and the Spirit as to where he should go and what he should do. So if Jesus is doing that, shouldn't we be doing that? Isn't that how we should be living? Are we a really good praying church? Are we really good praying people? When we compare ourselves to Jesus, that is the way to go. He prayed night and day. This word tells us as well with the widow, you know, pray night and day. and God will give you what you ask for. God will reveal to you what you need to do. How important was it to the disciples? Well, let's go into the book of Acts, and we're just going to look at chapter 6, verses 3 to 5. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith, of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Procurus, Nicanor, Timor, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. Prayer isn't just a connection to God, it's a lifeline to a Christian walk. We need to have prayer, and we need to pray constantly, and we need to keep in rhythm with God and with the Holy Spirit so that we know where to go, what to do. When we have a big decision to make, we need to pray. We need to come to God and say, Lord, we need your wisdom. You know, we know that the Bible tells us, you know, if you need wisdom, come and ask for it. But you've got to come and ask for it and believe God's going to give it to you. When we pray, it's about our relationship with God. It's about seeking God's will, seeking God's purpose, asking God to find our keys for us, asking him to get our boilers going, asking him for blessed travel wherever we go, asking him to give us that parking spot. You know, it's all the tiny things and all the big things. We need to pray. We need to come to God. We need to get into that rhythm of chatting to God on a daily basis. Why? Because it's how Jesus lived. It's what Jesus did. He is our guide. More than that, he got up to pray. More than that, he stayed up late and prayed. You know, his life was a life of prayer and ministry. Now, we're all aiming to have a life of prayer and ministry. We all want to do good things for God. As we look at Acts, when the people were chosen to take care of the widows, they didn't just go, well, let's pick out some people here and there and here who know about these things. They didn't say that. They said, let's find people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's look for people that have the Spirit of God moving in them. They didn't just want anyone to fill the gap. They wanted people filled with the Spirit, people that were also going to pray. Why did they do it? So that they could preach and focus on their praying. This is where the power of God is. Now, I'm sure we all look to our leaders and to the people that we know of, should we call them prayers, you know, warrior prayers. We look to these people to help us. We look to these people to keep us going. What would it be like if they just sort of step back from God? You know, when God brings prophetic words, it is because he wants us to listen. He wants us to pay attention. Thank you for Hill this morning reminding us in Psalm 91 that he is with us. He will call upon me and I will answer him. How do we call upon God? We're praying. We're calling out. We're chatting to God. If you call, I will answer. Now, people from ACBC, I'm sure, may recognize this verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. I remember years ago reading a lovely book by Tommy Tiney called God Chasers. And it was trying to, you know, it was trying to track God down. Where was he doing things? What was he doing? I want to be part of it. Well, you know, I've always liked that story, but I've always felt as well in the back of my mind, why didn't you seek God where you were? Why weren't you calling God to do what he was doing elsewhere where you are. And, you know, we know God that chooses to do things in different places, and it's great to be part of those things. But when God puts you somewhere, he's put you there for a purpose, and he's put you there for a reason. And you need to get into a good prayer routine if you want to do the things God wants you to do. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, you've got to come to God and say, Lord, give me your spirit. Feed me, Lord. Seek God with all your heart. Seek him with everything you have. Look for him and find him. This is the answer. So I've got a little phrase. I don't know if we can actually get it up on screen. But it is simply this. You must walk before you can run. And I just want to change that a little to you must pray before you can act. If we want to do things for God, if we want to make decisions for God, if we want to preach for God, if we want to share the gospel, if we want to do the things that are right for God, then we need to be praying. And we need to be committing ourselves to praying. We need to be saying, I am going to do this. I am going to spend that time. So coincidentally, this week, the archbishops of the Church of England have put out a message to say, let's pray together at 6 o'clock from the 1st of February. My friends, if we haven't already been praying, if we haven't already been seeking God, then there's something wrong with our walk with God. If we've not been trying to get in touch with God over this situation that we're in, we've not been asking God to change things. And I know we have. I know we've been seeking God. But how much have we put into it? How much are we willing to say, no, I'm going to pray. I'm putting this aside or that aside, and I'm going to pray. And I'm going to spend that time. Prayer can be hard. Prayer can be hard work sometimes. But when you get going, you don't want to leave. You don't want to go. So let's remember, you must walk before you can run. Turns to you must pray before you can act. And let's keep seeking God and asking God. And finally, when we ask, when we seek, believe. See, you know, this man came to Jesus and said, if you will heal me. And Jesus said, I will. If you want to heal me, Jesus says, I want to heal you. Lord, if you want to encourage me in prayer, then speak to me. And Jesus says, I will. Because prayer is not a one-way thing. Prayer is a two-way thing. You need to have time to listen to what God is saying, and to seek his face. Now, obviously, we're going to pray. So let's bow our heads for a minute. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this gift of prayer. It's already been thanked today for that gift. And Father, we just want to praise you and Lord, give you glory and honor, because you have opened this door to us that is such a precious door. And Lord, when we think of what Jesus says, when he says, will I find anyone with faith? Oh, Lord, it is such an immense challenge to focus on you and to commit ourselves to you, commit ourselves to prayer, to commit ourselves to your work. Lord, we know without prayer, the work just falls to the ground. And Father, forgive us when we just fill our time with this and that and the other, and it's not you. Father, we just ask you to guide us and to lead us in this coming next few weeks, Lord, that you will guide us and show us your hand, Almighty God, that you will lead us and say, this is my heart. Lord, we pray for each fellowship represented here today. And pray, Lord, that you will lead and guide each fellowship through prayer, through your word, through prophecy, through your hand. Lord, we pray that we might know your heart again and again in every circumstance. And we pray, Father God, that you give us a heart to pray. Lord, we ask you to bless us. We ask you to guide us. Lord, I ask that you would fill us with the power of your Spirit. Father God, that you will anoint us to do the work of God. Thank you, Lord. Amen.